following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. You know where it is, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno Restaurant. And if you've been driving by Alto Forno, you've noticed they're doing a bit of a facelift out front. They got rid of the outdoor patio, and I think they're going to expand the place out a little bit. But we'll see what each day brings, because I get the bird's eye view up on the second floor at 41 Cross Street, just above Alto. And we'll see what changes come each day. I never know. It's always a surprise. And, you know, we're all trying to stay socially distant. I haven't really poked my head in or talked to many people to find out what's going on. So we'll all have to do a little bit of investigative work with our eyes. But nice to be here with you this Sunday morning. Like I said, my name is Mark Friedman, and I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial. We've been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families all throughout the North Shore and the Merrimack Valley since 1968. No, not me. My father started the firm back then. I joined the firm in 1991. And so I'm approaching, I guess next year would be my 30th year. I mean, I know many of us would like to forget the whole year 2020 right now, but it has been very, very interesting with lots of things that we would have never imagined. We were starting off the year in a really nice trajectory. Everybody was busy. We all had vacation plans. We all had plans for graduating from high school, graduating from college. We were going out to eat. We were shopping. We were spending money. The stock market was doing well. Everybody was doing fine. We were fully employed. My goodness, if you wanted to find a job, man, there was a job out there for you. But man, have things changed, haven't they? You know, we're now in a situation where unemployment is hovering around 10% or so. It's not nearly as bad as what it looked like back in March. We are starting to move forward. People are starting to go back to work. But it's going to be a while. It's going to be a while before we are fully recovered from this. In fact, I have a report here that came from First Trust. Brian Westbury is the chief economist over at First Trust, and he sends us a Monday morning outlook. This was what I received earlier this week. And he writes, it's going to take years for the U.S. economy to fully heal from the economic disaster brought about by COVID-19 and the government-mandated shutdowns, which continue to limit economic activity across the country. When we talk about a full recovery, we don't simply mean real GDP getting back to where it was in late 2019, and I'll explain GDP in a second. But a full recovery means that unemployment rate needs to get back below 4%. And unfortunately, we don't see that happening until at least late 2023. So what GDP stands for, GDP is an acronym for what's called the gross domestic product. What that means is all of the revenue that we, the money that we spend money on consumer goods. I remember this from my days back at Babson College, taking an economics course. It was C plus I plus G minus E minus M. Plus E minus M. And I'll explain to you what that means. C stands for consumer goods. All the stuff that you and I spend. We spend money on groceries. We spend money on health and beauty aids, on cars, on vacations, on everything. I stands for any interest that the government earns on investments that they make. Well, we know interest rate's not so high, but consumer goods plus interest, C plus I plus G. G is what the government spends money on. Well, the government has certainly been spending a lot of money on something lately, haven't they? And that's been on you and me. That's right. They've been spending money, whether it's their stimulus checks, whether it's the unemployment checks, whether it's the PPP loans. That's a lot of government spending. That is for sure. So C plus I plus G, consumer spending plus interest plus government spending plus exports minus imports. What we send out that we make money for less what we buy from other countries. That's what is made up of what's called the gross domestic product. And right now, we believe the gross domestic product, we were the most successfully spending country. We were seeing this doing extraordinarily well in late 2019. Of course, things have changed. As much as we're starting to see a lot of people spending money again, and I'm going to go through some of those economic numbers later on in our show, we still need to get people back to work. And once we get people back to work, which could be a while, some are starting to go back to work, some are actually going to have to retrain themselves. And I wouldn't be surprised if a pocket of our population decides to say, you know what, I'm going to do some online learning and get out of the workforce for a little while and begin to reimagine what else I could be. I mean, look, if you're in the business where you're successful when you're working with large crowds, you may be out of work for a while. I don't like that because I love going to the theater. I love going to the ball game. I love going to parks and concerts and all that kind of stuff. But if your livelihood depends on large gatherings to come together, you may have to take a hiatus from that job, as much as I hate to say that, and reimagine yourself with something else that could produce income. Because we all sit here and wonder, well, now that the stimulus checks or the government's the stimulus checks and the government unemployment checks have stopped for now, what are we going to do? I mean, I do believe we heard that that President Trump signed an executive order to restore part of that that extra unemployment income, providing $300 per individual from the federal government, asking the states to step up at $100. That was an executive order. We don't know how that could happen yet. There's a lot of news, a lot of headlines. We basically need our Congress to come back together and explore what the president wrote in his executive order, explore what they can do, and we can say, you know, let's figure this whole thing out. But what is the likelihood of you getting retroactive checks back to August 1st, when this whole thing stopped? I actually think that's pretty popular and pretty likely to happen. I think you're going to see those retroactive checks, but it may not come until September 1st. So what are you doing? How are you preparing yourself? Are you taking advantage of some of these free online training courses that are up there? There's plenty of people that are willing to help you succeed, to get educated, to learn a new skill. And man, I'm telling you, if I wasn't so busy in my business right now, I really think I would learn how to code, start to write programs, how to build apps, how to do better graphic designing, how to use all those Adobe products that are out there. That's stuff that I would love to do. I just have to wrap my head and my time and my hours of time around it. The other thing I'd love to do, I'd love to learn how to play the guitar. I know that kind of sounds strange that at 54 years old, I want to start playing the guitar, but it's something I've always wanted to do. I know how to play the piano and I play it quite often actually, but you can't just show up at somebody's house and carry your piano with you out of the car, but bring in a guitar. I think it's the coolest thing when someone can show up with a guitar, a mandolin, a ukulele, whatever it might be, and they can show up at a party and just kind of play some background music and sing along. And I think that's the greatest thing to do. So maybe that's a skill set you want to pick up while you're waiting for the job to restore. But, you know, we're in an interesting situation right now. The stock market doesn't seem to realize that we are at 10% unemployment, that we're in the middle of a pandemic. And I think it's a bit puzzling for some folks because we see it here where the unemployment rate here in Massachusetts, frankly, is amongst the highest unemployment rates across the country. Many other parts of this country are going back to work. A lot of people are finding success in, whether it's in retail, in restaurants, in trucking, in transportation, even in the hotel business. We're starting to see upticks all over the place, whether it's security, whether it's food service, park management, whatever it might be. People are going back to work. So there is a start back. We are starting to see some ticks back. And later in the show today, I want to share with you a series of charts that I've collected from an organization called Natixis, N-A-T-I-X-I-S. They've put together what they call the Economic Activity Tracker. I get it every week sent to my office, and I've pulled out some highlighted charts that I think will help us understand the direction that we're heading in, despite the fact that the headlines can be pretty scary sometimes, talking about the fact that we're starting to see upticks in certain areas of the country, but actually we're seeing a change in direction in other areas of the country. I thought it was interesting that, you know, a couple of weeks ago we were looking at the skyrocketing numbers that were happening down in the South, especially Florida and Texas and Arizona and even California. Those numbers have actually turned rather dramatically in the other direction, starting to head downward. Where we're starting to see some of the new hot spots is the mid part of this country. And, you know, we can look at it, well, there's the reason people are not wearing their masks, they're not social distancing, they're not doing a lot of things. Well, according to the economic tracker that we're reading, many of them are saying, just like here in New England and New York and New Jersey, where we were part of our first wave back in March and April, you know, they were rather lackadaisical in the Midwest and pretty lackadaisical, frankly, down in the South as well. As we started to turn a corner, it started to pick up in Florida. And as Florida started to turn a corner, it started to pick back up in the Midwest. And each of these places, these are not considered second waves. These are considered actually the first wave for many of these communities and many of these states around the nation. So we have to remember sometimes when we think about how this pandemic, how this virus is impacting us, a lot of it is being seen through the lens of our community, our own bubble, if you will. There were many laggards across this country that dealt with the coronavirus differently than we did it in May and March and April. And now they're dealing with it differently as it's becoming more significantly dramatic to them across the country. We have to learn to live with this. We are going to go through some hills and valleys. We are getting closer and closer to the day when a vaccine may be available to all of us. And if you want to get tested for COVID-19, you can pretty much go anywhere right now. No, the rapid tests might not be available, but within 24 to 48 hours, you can have a test done for free, even if you're showing no symptoms. So I'd strongly encourage you to reach out and get those tests. Wouldn't you feel better knowing that you don't have the virus? I'd encourage you to do it. I also encourage you to continue to wear a mask, continue to wash your hands, and continue to wash your surroundings, to watch your surroundings, not wash your surroundings, to watch your surroundings. Those are the three W's, the three secrets to success, and that will get you through this pandemic for as ever long as it lasts. But we've got to take a quick break. When we get back, I want to talk to you about some lessons that we've learned that have caused consumers, even our clients, to start to rethink about how they're spending money during a period of time when the pandemic is uncertain and it's difficult to work with some companies. All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
This is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108 That's 978-531-8108, or on the web at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
It's not about the money, money, money. We don't need your money, money, money.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Where for the past 50 plus years, we've been providing individuals and families with financial planning and investment management advice all throughout the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the Southern New Hampshire area. It always amazes me how many generations of families have become part of our family here at Friedman Financial. Just to give you a sense as to what our client base looks like, oftentimes people are always asking, you know, Mark, you're a financial planner. You must deal with the super wealthy or deal with a certain segment of the market. Well, that's not the case at Friedman Financial. And I think that's what makes us rather unique. Yes, we do deal with our with clients who have what I call positive cash flow, meaning that when they're working in their working years, they're actually able to save money over and above what they're making. That means there's more left over at the end of the month than what comes in at the end of the month. In addition, over the past several decades, they've worked hard to put money aside, not only to perhaps send their kids to school, but to put money aside for their financial future, because they know that when age 60, 65, 70, whatever that age is, comes around where they say, I don't want to work anymore. I'm done. And I want to rely on perhaps Social Security, a pension if I have it, and the resources that I can spin off from my investment account to support my life for the rest of my life. But I still want to be able to go on vacations. I still want to be able to dote on my grandchildren. I still want to be able to go out to eat and enjoy myself similar to the way I was doing that when I was working. Many people we find, though, worry that they can't do that, despite the fact that they probably have enough money to do so anyways. And that's what's rather kind of interesting. You see, we've grown up with this idea that when we retire, we want to live off the earnings or the interest and save the principal. Well, that strategy worked pretty well years ago. But it is not possible to work through living off the interest as a strategy anymore. Let me try to put that into perspective for you. So if you had $100,000 in 1996 and you dropped it in the bank, FDIC insured bank account, the bank would pay you $5,000 a year for you to leave if you left your $100,000 in the bank. That's right. The interest rate in 1996 on average was around 5%. You give them $100,000, they'll give you $5,000. Now, I know many of you are thinking back to the 1980s. I remember when interest rates were 10 and 14%. Yeah, that's a long time ago. We can't even imagine. That's not going to happen in my lifetime, and probably not even my kid's lifetime. So let's put 5% as a realistic number that we could get to at some point, but we're still a long ways away, perhaps a decade plus away. But back in 1996, you were able to get $5,000 a year for every $1,000 you placed into the bank, and it was guaranteed. So why in 1996 would many people rush to the stock market when they felt like they could get guaranteed 5% of their money? Well, people did participate in the stock market, don't get me wrong, but the idea of $5,000 a year on $100,000, that was a pretty cool thing. And then, wait, 2000, we're heading into the dot-com boom. Remember 2000, the dot-com boom, when we had pets.com and we had little kids buying helicopters, remember those commercials? And all of these crazy dot-com companies that popped up all over the place. The stock market was flying, the NASDAQ was flying up, and everyone said, I got to buy into the stock market. I got to invest in the stock market. Well, meanwhile, in 2000, you could get 6% on your money. Yeah, 6% on your money. So that means if you had $100,000 that you gave to the stock gave to a bank, they'd pay you $6,000 a year. Now, could have you made a lot more money in the early 1990s heading into 2000 in the stock market? Perhaps. But we all know what happened with the dot-com bust following the dot-com boom in the 2000s. So there was guaranteed $6,000. You had guaranteed 6% or $6,000 in a $100,000 investment. And then in 2006, just 6 years later, you could still get 4.5% in the bank. You drop in your $100,000 and you'd get $4,500 a year. So you're thinking, okay, I could still, maybe I could live off the interest, the $4,500 a year, along with my Social Security check, along with my pension. And then we fast forward to today, the year 2000, where when you deposit $100,000 in your local bank today, you get $280 in interest. That's right, $280. That's on average. So can we still work and live within the principle and thinking that I'm going to live off my interest to support my life in retirement? No, we can't do that anymore. We need to think differently. But it's also the reason why more and more people venture into the stock market. Now, am I suggesting that you should go all in on the stock market? No, absolutely not. But I think a managed approach to taking your financial resources out of the bank beyond what you need to keep there for an emergency fund and investing that money appropriately in a collection of stock-based mutual funds and bond-based mutual funds, what's called an asset allocation portfolio. Now, will the interest rate be 5 or 6%? Probably not. In fact, highly unlikely. But if you could build a portfolio, if you could build a portfolio and you could get on average 6 or 7% on your account by utilizing a collection of equity-based investments and bond-based investments, and you pulled, say, 4% of the value, you'd be doing multiple times better than money in the bank. You'd be keeping up with inflation. You'd be able to manage your cash flow with flexibility and, of course, have the money that you might have from Social Security or a pension or whatever it might be. You see, we need to rethink income in America. And some will talk about the idea about buying what's called an annuity. Should I buy an annuity where I could get a guaranteed income stream? Maybe that makes sense for you. I don't know. We have to take a look at that. But oftentimes, the sounds of guarantees from a product come with a series of challenges too. If you were to give a certain amount of money to, let's say, an insurance company to get a guaranteed income stream for the rest of your life, do you have the ability to go after any more money that you would give in the insurance company? In some cases, the answer is absolutely no. But in other cases, the answer is possibly. You could buy an annuity that says we're going to pay you a guaranteed income stream. But if you take additional money beyond the income stream, you may not be able to guarantee the income that you are getting moving forward. There's all sorts of options. What we try to do at Friedman Financial is give you the guidance and advice so that your portfolio, your assets, your net worth, everything you have less everything you owe are organized and lined up properly so that you can collectively make informed decisions that allow you to live for what you need now, but also recognize that there are bumps in the road. You know, I love it when I read some of these reports that talk about, well, I need $5,000 a month or $60,000 a year to support my lifestyle in retirement. And thus, I need to have X number of dollars to produce $60,000 a year between my, I can use some from Social Security, some perhaps from a pension, and others that I take from my investment account. But chances are you will not live a linear lifestyle of spending $60,000 a year for the rest of your life. And that's because life happens. Periodically, you may want to buy a car. You need to replace the furnace. You need to replace a roof. You want to give a gift to your grandchildren that's larger than your typical spending. Maybe you want to go on some vacations early on that cost something beyond or outside of your budget. When you set up a financial plan, it's very important that your collective investments, your collective assets, are structured flexibly enough so that if you need more money periodically, not all the time, but periodically, you're prepared for it, that you have access to it without having to worry about penalties and costs and expenses. You see, at Friedman Financial, and frankly, with most financial planning firms, people that do financial planning first, we look at where you are today. We take a snapshot of everything you own. We look at how you own it. We understand what risks are involved with everything that you have, whether it's a bank account, a 401k, a pension account, an annuity, an investment account at a brokerage firm, stocks, bonds, cash, whatever it is. We look at it all. And in aggregate, we try to help you understand what are the risks you're taking by being positioned the way that you are. Maybe you're doing just fine. Maybe you need to tweak a little. Maybe, and this is what happens in many cases, you have adequate resources, you're just not using them to their fullest potential. And that is what surprises so many people approaching retirement. They tend to think that they don't have enough money to prepare for retirement, when in fact they really do. And that's because one of the biggest misunderstood parts of a financial plan is taxes. Many people don't understand what their tax liability will look like in retirement because it's far different from what it looks like when you're working. I want you to imagine this. Imagine you were making $100,000 a year and you put 10% of your money into your 401k plan. We've talked about 401ks before. That's that pre-tax money that you can take out of your pay before it actually ends up getting taxed and then netting out in your pay stub. So you take 10% of your $100,000 and put it into your 401k. Well, that gets you to $90,000. Now $90,000 is taxed at both federal tax, at state tax. You got to pay FICA tax. Remember that thing, the Social Security and Medicare? Sometimes you're paying for health insurance premiums. Sometimes you're paying for disability or dental costs. Maybe some of your money's going to UNICEF or to a union or whatever it might be. You see, when you're retired, actually, let's stay there. That check that you might get, you might have been making $100,000, but when you take out all the taxes, all of the withholdings, all of your money into your 401k plan, you might say, well, I guess I walked away with $60,000 or $5,000 a month. Well, when you retire, does that necessarily mean that you need to earn $100,000 to net $60,000? Chances are the answer is no. Because chances are when you're retired, you're not going to be participating in a 401k plan. You're not going to be paying into FICA, you're not going to be paying FICA taxes, employee payroll taxes, you know, to the Social Security, to Medicare. Yes, you'll have to pay federal taxes. Yes, you'll have to pay state taxes. But will you be paying into group life insurance programs, group health insurance programs? Maybe you'll be paying the Medicare premiums from somewhere else, but you may not need to make as much money. And that becomes something that's rather challenging to so many retirees, is recognizing what the tax liability will be to support your lifestyle. Because imagine this. Imagine you had $200,000 in the bank and you said, I need $20,000 from that account this year. If you pulled $20,000 out of your bank account, how much tax would you have to pay on that $20,000? Nothing. You've already paid tax on that money. But if you needed $20,000, if you needed to make $20,000 net in your pocket by working, maybe you'd need to make $30,000 to get $20,000. Or worse, what if you needed $20,000 and the only account you had was your IRA? You'd have to pay federal and perhaps state taxes on the IRA. Now, I shouldn't say it was worse. It's another mechanism for drawing money. But wouldn't it be nice if you had the guidance from someone to say, to answer your question, hey, I need $20,000. I need an extra $20,000 this year. Where is the best place to take it? Should I go to my bank account? Should I go to my brokerage account? Should I take money from my IRA? Should I go to my Roth? Should I pull money from my annuity? Should I take cash value from my insurance policy? Should I take an equity line of credit or an equity loan against my home? Should I use my credit card? What's the best way to handle this? Well, wouldn't it be nice if you had a partner with you to give you the guidance on how best to use that money in the smartest possible way each year you needed it? That is a big part of what we do at Friedman Financial. And if now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning, I'd encourage you to give us a call. We can schedule meetings over the phone. We can schedule meetings via Zoom. We are not meeting clients in person right now, but we are finding great success with our Zoom meetings, with our communication. I know so many people are finding it really thrilling how well we've been able to communicate with them. Some of them have said, my advisor doesn't communicate with me. They don't send me any communications. They don't talk to me. They don't answer questions except for, hey, you need to make this change in your investment account. Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll do that stuff with you. But we got to take care of the big stuff first. If you want to give us an opportunity to do that, I'd welcome the opportunity to talk with you. Our phone number, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. And I'll remind it to you as well. We put out a free weekly newsletter every Friday. I've been sending it out since March of 2009. Yeah, it's more than 600 consecutive issues every Friday at 10:30. If you'd like our newsletter, go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page on the website, put in your name, your email address, and it's that simple. Send it off and you'll be registered for our newsletter. We got to take a quick break. When we're back, like I promised you before, I want to talk to you about some of these travel challenges that we're seeing some of our clients dealing with. And we've got a lot more to share with you. What do I call financial advice in a language you can understand? You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. For more than 50 years, we've been providing individuals and families on the North Shore and Merrimack Valley with financial advice in a language you can understand. As each of us struggle to find answers in this uncertain environment, we're continuing to communicate with our clients in a variety of ways. Our weekly newsletter, our video town hall, our client teleconferences, and periodic phone calls continue to offer ways to address clients' questions despite remaining physically distant. If you're feeling alone and searching for rational advice during these emotional times, perhaps Friedman Financial can provide the comfort that you need. Give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Money, 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 money. Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located right across the street from the North Shore Mall and right above Alto Forno Restaurant at 41 Cross Street. But today we are in studio today providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. And there's a lot of financial advice that folks need these days because there's a lot of misconceptions, a lot of challenges that are out there, some predatorial dealings that we're seeing. And I wanted to bring something to your attention. This past week, Wednesday, the FBI issued a warning that malicious cyber actors are targeting mobile banking apps in an attempt to steal money as Americans have moved to online banking during this coronavirus pandemic. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've been doing mobile banking forever, but there is a brand new segment of our population, actually the older population, people older than me, even though my kids say that I'm old already at 54, an older population than me is finding it more and more comfortable to start paying bills online, using Venmo, using banking apps, using all sorts of ways to transfer money. Well, this public service announcement, which was issued by the FBI, noted that it's seeing hackers exploit mobile banking platforms. They've seen a 50% surge in use since the beginning of the pandemic. They say with city, state, and local governments urging or mandating social distancing, Americans have become more willing to use mobile banking as an alternative to physically visiting branch locations. They continue by saying the FBI expects cyber actors to attempt to exploit new mobile banking customers using a variety of techniques, including app-based banking trojans and fake banking apps. So I'll continue to read this. It's kind of interesting. The FBI specifically pointed to a threat of banking trojans. What is a trojan? Well, it involves a malicious virus that's hidden on a user's mobile device, their phone, until a legitimate banking app is downloaded. Once the real app is on the device, the banking trojan then overlays on top of your app, tricking the user into clicking on it and inputting their banking login credentials. You know, oftentimes you get emails that kind of look suspicious and you click on them and nothing happens? Well, that could be what's called a banking, or a trojan is what it could be called. It's downloading just something on your computer that you're not actually seeing even working, but it wakes up when you download a particular application that you think you may need in the future. Fake banking apps were also cited as a threat, with users in danger of being tricked into downloading malicious apps that also steal sensitive banking information. So in order to combat these threats, the FBI recommends that Americans only download banking apps from official app stores like Google Play, like the Apple Store, the Apple Store, or from banking websites that and banking app users should enable. Let me read that one more time. I kind of lost myself on that. In order to combat these threats, the FBI recommended that Americans only download banking apps from official app stores or from banking websites, and that banking app users enable what's called two-factor authentication on their accounts and also use strong passwords. For those of you that don't know, two-factor authentication is that system when you know you sign up something, you put in your username, you put in your password, and then they ask you to for your cell phone number, and they want to send you a code to your cell phone number. That's a second-factor authentication. That's using that to absolutely protect you. Now, if you encounter an app that appears suspicious, we caution you to exercise diligence and contact that financial institution. Major financial institutions may ask for a banking PIN number. When you call like Chase Bank or Barclays or Bank of America, they ask, what's your four-digit PIN number? But they will never, ever, ever, ever ask for your username and password over the phone. We need to be careful here. We need to be very careful, because there's oftentimes when you want to go buy something, and let's say you've found this bird feeder through Facebook and it says pay for it now, and you might see a button that says link this to your banking app. Hit this button to link to your banking app. Well, they don't know what your banking app is, but by you hitting that link this to your banking app, you may be downloading some type of suspicious download, so that when you actually do go to your real banking app and do go to pay, bring it up for live, it could create misinformation, could create a malicious activity on your account, something that you don't want to have happen. You want to be very careful as you're using and paying for things online, that you're inputting your credit card, that you're not answering questions for, tell us your username and password and we'll pull up your credit card for you. You need to be careful here. All right, switching gears here a little bit. Here's another thing to be careful of. I would caution many people right now. I know you want to travel. I know you want a vacation. I'd caution you on signing up for these riverboat cruises that aren't going to take place for another year or two. You're thinking, well, yeah, maybe this virus will be over in 2021 or 2022. Many of these riverboat companies are using travel agencies or have partnered with travel agencies where the agency will say, pay us 100% of the cruise cost now. And if you do that, you can take off 10%. Just send us a check. Now, I got to believe a cruise line like Viking Cruise Line is going to be in business. But there are companies like, and I'll just pick on one, and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with this company, but let's say we use Vantage Travel. Vantage Travel is a very large travel agency where they might book the trip for you through the Viking Cruise Line, but you're not booking directly with Viking. You're booking through Vantage, and they're booking the trip for you. Now, there's a lot of benefits, of course, to using travel agencies. But if you can't pay with a credit card, what type of recourse do you have if the travel company goes out of business? I strongly encourage you to use your credit card to make those purchases. And if the travel agency doesn't allow you to do that, go directly to Viking. The other thing that I often caution you about as well is many of these programs offer cruise cancellation insurance. Did you know that if the cruise company goes out of business, that doesn't give you payment on your cruise cancellation insurance all the time? Remember, cruise cancellation is for when you have to cancel, not when the company goes out of business. Your credit card should give you ample protection for what you need. And I would encourage you to look to use your credit cards for that. Another thing that I want you to be mindful of, if you're sending your kids to school, because a lot of kids are going to college right now, tuition bills are due. And I've found more and more people calling us because they call our office to say, hey, I need to pull money from my son's 529 plan to help pay for college. And they'll give me the tuition number that they need and we'll send that off for them. But I say, have you looked at the itemization of that tuition bill? Oftentimes that tuition bill includes what's called health insurance for your child. And you can probably request a waiver for that $2,000 or $3,000 charge on that health insurance through the college, because your child likely has health insurance through you. In addition to that, I'd encourage you to look at the detail of the invoice, because more and more colleges, look, UMass just went online just recently. What happens to all of those fees that you were paying for gymnasium fee, access to the lab, access to the library, whatever those fees might be? If you don't have access to those things, should you be paying those itemized fees? Unfortunately, and all too often, many people get their bill from their state university, from a private college, and they say, oh, the bill is $20,000 for the semester or $34,000 for the semester, and they just pay it. You have to also look within that itemization bill to say, how much of what I'm paying is paying for the meal plan? And if your child is going to school, which meal plan was chosen for you? Was it a default? Could you adjust the meal plan? Does your child have certain restrictions so that they're only going to be using it on certain days, certain weekends, whatever it might be? You have a lot of flexibility within the detailed listing of that invoice. But if you don't go through it and just pay that number at the bottom of the bill without looking at the line items, you could find yourself making a financial mistake. And that's what we try to do here. We try to provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand. And one more piece of advice that I want to give to you during this segment is for those of you that are over the age of 70 and a half, and now over 72 because of the new rules, this past year, you were able to take money as what was called a required minimum distribution from your IRA. You took that money and you used it. You had taxes paid on it. Maybe we withheld the taxes from it. But because of the pandemic, the government gave you the opportunity to pay that money back if you really didn't need it. Because remember, the required minimum distribution that's paid to you is something that's mandated each and every year. You have to take a certain amount of money every year. Let's say you had $100,000 in your IRA account and you were 72 years old, the amount of money that the government said you have to take from your IRA is $3,900. Now, you could have taken more, sure, but you couldn't take less. You have to take at least the minimum. Except this year, because of the pandemic, the government said you don't have to take the money, and if you already did, you can actually pay it back. Now, here's the catch. You have until August 31st to pay it back if that's what you want to do. So the clock is ticking. If you've been thinking about paying back the IRA distributions that you took, you need to do it quickly. And the other thing that's rather interesting is many people who take money from their IRA have taxes withheld already. So let's say you wanted, I don't know, $5,000 from your IRA, and $1,000 of it was paid as federal tax withholding to the government. So maybe you got a check for $4,000. Well, you can pay back $5,000. But maybe you say, well, I only got $4,000. Well, you could use your own money and pay back the $5,000. You can't call the IRS and say, hey, could you pay me back that other $1,000 that I already did paid to you? No. But through a check and balance system, that'll all work itself out towards the end of the year. If you've already paid in your federal taxes on your IRA and you want to pay back the full amount, you can use the net money that you got from your IRA plus maybe some personal money, pay it all back. And if you're one of those folks that has to pay estimated taxes, you may not have to worry about it. But those are those types of situations where the answer comes out with, it depends. Your situation is unique. And this is where I ask you to give us a call. Let us run our tax planning software for you to show you where opportunities exist, where you can save yourself some money, where you can do yourself a favor to make the smartest decisions when it comes to using your money and paying the least amount of tax. You see, that's what we call financial advice in a language you can understand. And we do that each and every Sunday here on our show called Dollars and Cents from 8 to 9 a.m. A lot of the advice that I provide to you comes from real life stories that happen in my office. You know, we're seeing clients all the time. We have 450 households as clients, 90% of whom live within or had roots within 10 miles of our office in Peabody. If you're local, we are a local firm that can help you out. We have several generations of clients as well. Now, when we think about our clients, who are they? They're generally over the age of 55. They're either approaching retirement or they're in retirement. When they approach retirement, they know they're going to need to spend money. They know they're going to need to rely on sources of income, whether it's a pension, whether it's Social Security, and whether it's the assets that they've accumulated to supplement what they need. But in retirement, generally, they want to spend somewhere between $5,000 and $12,000 a month. It's different for everybody. And that's when I say spend, I don't mean that's the gross amount. I mean, that's what they want to spend. That's after tax. And when we work with them, we figure out ways to draw the money conscientiously so that we manage the tax liability, we get you the money that you need, and we try to stretch it out for as long as we possibly can. The one thing that we've learned with many clients that we see is that many of them don't realize the resources that they have and their ability to use their money wisely to support a lifestyle that they've always grown accustomed. They're surprised that they won't run out of money. They're surprised that they can do this effectively. They can do it wisely, and they can do it with purpose. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, I want to share with you some statistics and stories that come from this economic activity tracker that was given to me by Natixis Asset Management. It's going to make you feel a little bit better about the direction we're heading in with this pandemic. Folks, I think we're turning a corner here. I think things are going to get better. We've got to be diligent. We've got to be patient. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
What if you could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning? That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills technology, and experience to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno Restaurant at 41 Cross Street in Peabody, where we've been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families all throughout the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the southern New Hampshire area since 1968. Well, my dad was. Dad retired in 2007. Dad retired. I joined the firm in 1991. My business partner, Marion Gilman, who you've heard here on the radio. In fact, she was with us last week. Marion joined us in 2000, so she's celebrating her 20th anniversary with us. I'll be celebrating approaching my 30th anniversary at Friedman Financial. And we are so blessed to have several generations of clients. Several folks live here locally that have gone on to trust the name, trust the reputation, and build some great relationships with our firm. Look, we've been through every life cycle event with our clients, from birth to death and everything in between. Sadly, we've lost a couple of our clients this year, not necessarily to COVID-19, but you know, life has its strangest ways of dealing with things. And we're very saddened when we lose clients because they do become family to us. But we are so blessed to have the loving spouses, the children, who all stick around, and we continue to work with them. And we try to continue the legacy that the parent who's passed away wanted to perpetuate for the rest of the family. That's one of the things that we do have a lot of experience here at Friedman Financial in is death. Unfortunately, when you start this business some 50 some odd years ago, you're bound to have clients pass away, and we average, I've always said this, a death and a half a month. It's 18 or so a year. And what we've learned through all of our years of experience with this is how to have the conversation with families on knowing what to do when somebody passes away. There's the immediate stuff that has to be done. Then there's a lot of stuff that doesn't really need to be done right away at all, though there are a lot of people knocking on your door that tell you otherwise. We want to be that guiding light. We want to be that Sherpa that will guide you along the way to making sure that you're making the smartest decisions and you're not feeling rushed to make any of them, especially during difficult times. So think about that. If you really, you know, a lot of people reach out to us and they say, Mark, many times the reason that they want to work with us is that one of the spouses has always handled the finances in the house and the other spouse knew nothing. And they always worry that if something were to happen to the one that was handling all the finances, who would step in and who would provide the guidance? We become that light for you. We become that point of connection to really guide the surviving spouse and, frankly, the children as well, because there's a lot of misinformation out there. And as I don't know who was famous for saying it, but we don't know what we don't know. And one of the things that we do know here at Friedman Financial is how to help our clients deal with the transition of wealth, deal with the transition of assets, and deal with death when it does happen. But on a different note, I told you that we were going to take a look at some of these charts that I saw. And we've seen a chart that just came to us from an economic activity tracker that tells us the economy is restarting. The worst appears to be behind us. And now it's not necessarily about what's good and what's bad. It's really about what's less bad. And we have now come to terms, I think we've all grown to recognize the importance of social distancing. I don't think twice about grabbing a mask anymore. It's just part of my day-to-day life. Now, I hope that won't last forever. But because I now feel more comfortable in a mask, I feel more comfortable going out. Look, the roads are busier. People are spending money. Things are happening. And in fact, what's really interesting is the uptick, which was showing A huge drop-off in March, of course, when the pandemic was at its worst, when the stock market got hit. We're starting to see things start to climb back. One of the things that we're starting to see reopen is small businesses. You see, back in end of March, early into February, more than 60% of small businesses closed. But today, I'm looking at this report, as of 8/1, as of August 1st, only 20% of small businesses remain closed. Rather remarkable. Now, what businesses have come back the most? I thought it was interesting that beauty and personal care almost shut down to basically zero. Remember back in March and April, it was like, where were you going to get your nails done? Where were you going to have a haircut? Where were you going to have any type of self-care handled? And now, those shops, those beauty and personal care folks, only about 25% of those businesses remain closed. Many of the others are open. Other places that have obviously not seen seen a response come back, well, that's the airline industry. That has been a tough one. But we are seeing numbers from TSA. TSA reports to us every single week, and they showed that there were close to 2.8 million people traveling during the first week of March. And that was pretty normal, standard for the year. And then when April 1st came around, there was only about 300,000 people traveling. So going from 2.8 to 300,000 people traveling, that was more than a 90% drop. Well, we've started to see each and every week, TSA is starting to see more and more activity at the airport. Now, they're far from back to where they should be, but these are what we call green shoots. We're seeing 35% activity, returning to about 35%, or roughly just under a million people every day passing through TSA. So that's a very positive sign. Public transit, though, is rather interesting. We saw this big fall off in March. People were, you know, everyone was using the public transit system, whether it's the train, whether it's the buses, and people have been slow to get back to work there. We're just seeing a little bit of an uptick. It's not a way that people are using as a means of transportation for getting there. What are some of the other things? Of course, box office sales at the movie theater, well, that's way down. But interestingly, restaurants, which saw basically their businesses shut down to nothing, Open Table is now reporting that they're down 60% rather than 100%. People aren't using Open Table all that much right now, but it is starting to head in the right direction. But the industry that I found most fascinating, that has basically come back to where it was in February and March. You know what that industry is? And this blew me away. The automobile industry. People are buying cars again. The number of people buying cars, as I saw this number here earlier, cars and light trucks were sold at a 14.5 million per unit annual rate in July. That's the highest since February, when it was at 16.8 million annualized. To put this into perspective, in April, we were at 8 million annualized. We're almost back to where we were. People are buying cars. Folks, there's optimism out there. We're going to get through this. I am so, so confident that at the end of this tunnel, there is going to be a bright light. Our world will be different for sure. But you, those that are diligent, those that are thoughtful, those that are resilient, those that are respectful of everybody's space and the way in which we're living within this pandemic, are all going to be blessed, are prosperous, and you are going to certainly succeed. I have that confidence, and I'm sure you share that with me, because, folks, that's the only direction I want to go in. I don't want to live in a world of negativity. We just can't do it, and we're going to get through this. I'm confident. I got to get out of here. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you.
Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.